Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive, and we've been blessed to stay alive by the Almighty Creator with Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and as we now have come back from our 54-day sabbatical, we humbly suggest we are the high inner frequency of soul of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class number 550. And today's program is entitled A Practice Program to Restart the Engine. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha. Blessing upon the human family experience. Comments, questions, and concerns are welcomed as we warm up ourselves with our return to the airwaves. And right now you're listening to of Isaac Bitton's Here Comes the Time from his Generation Redemption album. In order to go on with the show, we're going to have to turn on the music and ask Mechilah from Rabbi Isaac, let's get on with the shoe. Okay, blessed souls, that's Rabbi Isaac's. Here comes the time. And my name is Don Zosio Goodman, for those of you who remember. I am your friendly international cyberspace Torah activist. And my job is hopefully, if I'm going to complete my shluchot, my mission here, occupying this space and this time, most existential realities, is to encourage you to seek out your portion in the Torah, whether you be of the nation of Israel or one of the blessed children of man, the human family experience, the Bnei Noach, Chassidei Umot Olam, the pious of the nations of the world, the Ger Tzedek, the righteous convert, whatever any other term you prefer to call yourself by. I also want to send a special dedication, an open invitation to a group which I was blessed to become a part of within the last several days. It's on Facebook. It's actually a closed book, but hopefully the membership will get so big that it will become an open group. It's called 7 plus 3, Chassidus for You and Me. And I like that type of reality. That's not what the group is called, but I'm just adding that as an addendum. That I want to personally give thanks to people like James Gosnell and the other members. I don't know. I think he's probably one of the administrators of the group. And hopefully we will get some live interaction. I kind of turned on today's program. I programmed the program less than 30 minutes before going live right now. And I was on a sabbatical for 54 days, blessed souls, which corresponds to the which is Dalad and Nun. My first name is Don Dalad Nun. Had nothing to do. That's not the reason why I was gone for 54 days. Just I was attending to certain private matters concerning the health of my father. And in fact, today's program is dedicated for the increasing strength of my father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Sheyichia ben Esther Aliyah Shalom, my grandmother. Also for my mother, their mother, Maras Yiska Techia Bas Chayesar Aliyah Shalom. And Mahavda ben Chaim L'Chaim, I'm also dedicating today's program to the Ilei Nishmas, Hareb Yosef, Alav Shalom, Ben Yitzhak, Alav Shalom, Noar, Rav Shlomo, who was niftar, on passed on to the next level of life on the 16th of Tevis in this year, 5,776 years since original man and woman were grazing and blazing upon this blessed earth. So blessed souls, again, this is a rather impromptu production today. Your comments, questions, concerns will be welcome, and hopefully by tonight or tomorrow morning we're going to get a little bit more into the flow. And programs we've had in the past were connected to talking with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, a neuropsychologist who is actually based in Yerushalayim with his Eshes Chayel, Chana Tova, and they have more than two children, but they have Sori and Moishala living out there in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Goldstock was prone to give us weekly updates on what's going on in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. He doesn't even know that I restarted the program today, but that's okay. And then hopefully we'll also get back to matters of meditation, Wellsprings for the Human Soul, which was a popular series, which is inspired by Facebook member Dave Tuttle. Facebook friend as well, Dave Tuttle, is also part of this 7+3 Chassidus for You and Me closed group. And also we did In Search of Ancient Authentic Torah, where I did explorations into various realms of written and oral traditions with Rambam activist and teacher and disseminator of the teachings of Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Nesher Gadol, the Great Eagle. And as well, we did a program with Alan Cecil, who wrote a seminal book called Secular by Design, a book basically doing a very precise analysis, a particularized analysis into the last several hundred years of the Western culture with the overt and covert attacks against the Torah in the name of actually attacking other faiths, say Christianity, in the name of secularism, which has not brought any more justice into the planetary scheme as we understand this blessed earth to be. So, blessed souls, I'd like to go into today's presentation with a prayer, which was penned by the devoted student, Talmid, of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. I just want to point out that while I am someone who's been part of the Lubavitcher educational movement, Hasidic movement, for the last 30 years, I also have a great love of Rabbi Nachman Hasidus and how his Talmid Vasik, his bright light of a student of Rav Nassen, was able to capture and encapsulate the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And he wrote a book put out called Lakuti Tefilos, a compendium of prayers by Rav Nassen under the guidance of Rabbi Nachman to take his Torah, his teachings of Hasidus, the Mayanos, the Wellsprings, which began with the modern Hasidic patriarch of the Baal Shem Tov in order to hasten the coming of the redemption in a most pleasant and peaceful manner. So let's go on and extract out inspirations from the prayer of Rabbi Nassen. This is prayer number Taf Tzadik Zayin, which is the Hebrew numerical value of 397. And may we merit in your abundant or great mercies that you reveal to us the hidden Torah and the hidden Tzadikim. And even if the world was not worthy right now to make utilization of this within this hidden light, which is the hidden light that most of us, majority of human beings, are not accessing openly, is the hidden Torah and the hidden Tzaddikim, who engage in the hidden realms of Torah, meaning levels of consciousness way beyond the masses of the human beings, of part of the human family experience. And Rabbi Nassen went on to say, and if you'll do with us, act with us in a way that is preceding the normal conduct of judgment and will arouse your mercies, Creator, and your kindnesses, which are the only true mercies and kindnesses that we can experience, because the kindnesses and mercies of a human being are quite limited, but the kindnesses and mercies of a Creator are the true ones that we wish for to receiving from and suckling from, and then hopefully sharing of the bounty of those supernal kindnesses and mercies. And help us with your goodness and in your great grace that we merit, that you reveal to us in your great mercies, the hidden Tzaddikim and the hidden Torah. For you know, Creator, God, our Creator, that we don't have any sort of reliance and someone who we can lean on, except through the hidden tzaddikim and that level of Torah which is hidden from normative human kindness. For it is the actions of the hidden righteous ones, accessing the hidden dimensions of Torah, that they alone are serving as a magen, as a shield upon us now, within the depths of this bitter exile, which are known as on the heels of the coming of the Mashiach. So take note of us with your great mercies and help us to defeat, to conquer our natures, to turn from evil completely according to your good will, and to do good in your eyes continually, until that we merit to have benefit and to have taste also in this world from the hidden light that is concealed and has been sown for the righteous ones, as it is written in Scripture. And I'll leave it to you, blessed souls, to look it up. That's your homework assignment, if you choose to take it upon yourselves. Or Zeruah LaTzadik, LeYishrelev Simcha. Light is sown for the righteous, and joy for those who are upright in heart. So that being said, blessed souls, let's move on to a topic which many people combat with every day, and that includes your own local, friendly, international cyberspace Torah Askan, Torah activist, that's myself, Don Zusu Goodman, how to deal with anger, because there's so many things in a day that can trigger a response which is the opposite of anger. I mean, the opposite of being calm, meaning getting angry. So I'm going to read from a seminal letter that was written by a Rishon by the name of Ramban, as opposed to the Rambam. He was known as Nachmanides, and he was a great sage, and he engaged at all levels of the revealed and hidden levels of Torah, but being that the Torah that we know of today, known as Panimius of Torah, wasn't really openly revealed in the time of Rambam, who again was a Rishon, so he concealed it in more ethical guided teachings, in what we call the Nigla de Torah, the revealed dimensions of the Torah. So here it goes. Let's read from the Rambam's letter. Heed, my son, the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the guidance of your mother. Accustom yourself to speak gently to all people at all times. This will protect you from anger, a most serious character flaw which causes one to sin. Our rabbis taught, based on the scriptural pronouncement in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 24, whoever flares up anger, please forgive me, I was misquoting, from the Talmudic oral Torah tradition of Nadarim, which is basically the oral Torah tradition of how an Israelite takes upon himself or herself a vow. And this particular section that I'm going to be quoting from in a moment is from Masechtas Nedarim, page 22, side A, because each page of the Talmud has two sides, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. Our rabbis taught, whoever flares up in anger is subject to the discipline of Gehenom, literally hell. As it is written, banish anger from your heart and remove evil from your flesh. And that is a quote from Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 10. The evil mentioned here refers to Gehenna, as it is written, and the wicked are destined for the day of evil. And there, that is a quotation, and the wicked are destined for the day of evil, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 4. The Ramban wants us to know, blessed souls, once you have distanced yourself from anger, the quality of humility will enter your heart. This sterling quality is the finest of all admirable traits, as Scripture writes. On the heels of humility comes the fear of the Creator. And that is the Ramban outsourcing from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 4. Through humility, the fear of God will intensify in your heart, for you'll always be aware of from where you have come and to where you are destined to go. You realize that in life you are frail as the maggot or the worm, all the more so in death. It is this sense of humility which reminds you of the one before whom you will be called for judgment, the King of Glory. Of him it is written, "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you." And that's quoting directly from Kings 1, chapter 8, verse 27. "Surely not the hearts of men as well." And that's quoting from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11. So even the biggest heart, blessed souls, the kindest heart, the most righteous heart, cannot contain all of what is known to be the King of Glory. At the same time, too, for some of this might be a paradox, and for some of this might be a matter of a flaw, of wonder, the Creator tells us through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23, verse 24, "Do I not feel heaven and earth, says Hashem," says Creator. So on the one hand, heaven and heavens cannot contain Creator, and the hearts of men, includes women as well, the hearts of human beings cannot contain him. But yet Creator says, yet still, I can fill heaven and earth. So from one extreme to the other, it seems impossible to contain the Creator, but the Creator says, he asks with the rhetorical prophecy, which answers itself, of course the Creator fills the heaven and earth. Would you think otherwise? The Ramban goes on to say, after you give serious thought to these ideas, you will stand in awe of your Creator and will be guarded against sin. Once you've acquired these fine qualities, you will indeed be happy with your lot. When your actions display genuine humility, when you stand meekly before men and fearfully before God, and when you stand wary of sin, then the Spirit of God's presence, which is known as the Shekhinah, will rest upon you. Again, let me repeat that, blessed souls. When your actions display genuine humility, and humility is a term that has to be defined not just in the English, but in the Hebrew, in the Lashon HaKodesh, when you stand meekly before man, not weakly, but meekly, there's a big difference, and at the same time, fearfully before God, when you stand being very wary of the consequences of sin, then the Spirit of God's presence, the Shekhinah, will rest upon you, as will the splendor of his glory. You will live the life of the world to come. And now, my son, understand clearly that one who is prideful in his heart toward other men rebels against the sovereignty of heaven, for he glorifies himself in God's own robes. For it is written, Hashem reigns, he dons the mantle of grandeur. And that's a quote from the book of Psalms, chapter 93, verse 1. For indeed, of what should a man be prideful? If he has wealth, it is Creator who makes one prosperous. And if honor, does honor not belong to Creator? As it says, wealth and honor come from you, from the book of Chronicles 1, chapter 29, verse 12. If a human being takes pride in wisdom, let he or she understand that Creator may remove the speech of the most competent and take away the wisdom of the aged. And that's a quote directly being outsourced from the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 20. Thus all men stand as equals before their Creator. Where have we saw them before, blessed souls? I believe it's in the Declaration of Independence, where all men are created equal. So the Ramban, several hundred years before the Declaration of Independence was written, that all men are created equal. Here the Ramban asserts, thus all men, all women, all human beings, stand as equals before the Creator. In his fury he casts down the lofty. In his goodwill he elevates the downtrodden. Therefore humble yourself, for Creator will lift you. What a paradox, blessed souls. By humbling ourselves, we actually get an elevation, as opposed to those who want to get elevated, unfortunately have found that their outcome of their being self-aggrandizing has been to be humbled, sometimes to the greatest extreme, which none of us would ever want to experience and wouldn't want to wish upon our friends and even our enemies. Thus I shall explain to you how you may accustom yourself to the quality of humility, to walk with it always. One point of advice from the Rambam is, let your words be spoken gently. Let your head be bowed. Cast your eyes downward and your heart heavenward, and when speaking, do not stare at your listener. Now that's probably so contrary to the Western mode of interpersonal communication of casting one's eyes downward. And I don't know if Western thought talks about the idea of pointing one's heart, so to speak, spiritually, heavenwardly, and not to stare at your listener. But in fact, there are other cultures to this day that practice that. And I'll leave that to you to do your own research on that. The Ramban goes on to say, let all men seem greater than you in your eyes. If another is more wise or wealthy than yourself, you must show him respect. And if he is poor and you are richer or wiser than he, consider that he may be more righteous than yourself. If he sins, it is the result of error, while your transgression is deliberate. In all your words, actions, and thoughts, at all times imagine in your heart that you are standing in the presence of the Holy One, blessed be He, and that His presence rests upon you. Indeed, the glory of Hashem fills the universe. Speak with reverence and awe, like a servant who stands in the presence of his master. Act with restraint in the company of others. If one should call out to you, do not answer with a loud voice, but respond gently, in low tones, as one who stands before his mentor. Take care to always study Torah diligently, so you will be able to fulfill its commands. When you rise from study, ponder carefully what you have learned, see what there is in it, and what you can put into practice. Very important point. What can you implement into your practical, mundane existence, blessed souls? Review your actions every morning and evening, and in this way live all your days in repentance, which one day we'll have to explore this idea in a future program with the help of the Most High. What is the idea of repentance, otherwise known as teshuvah? Because repentance, unfortunately, has been primarily described from foreign sources or foreign faiths outside of the realm of Torah, with all the oral and written Torah traditions concerning the idea of teshuvah, returning, not just calling it repentance. Cast external matters from your mind when you stand to pray. Carefully prepare your heart in the presence of the Holy One. Purify your thoughts and ponder your words before you utter them. Conduct yourself in all these ways and all your endeavors for as long as you live. In this way, you will surely avoid transgression. Your words, actions, and thoughts will be flawless. Your prayer will be pure and clear, sincere and pleasing to Creator. Blessed be He, as is written, when you prepare their heart to concentrate, you are attentive to their prayers. And that's being outsourced from Psalms chapter 10, verse 17. So the Ramban concludes in this letter to his son, read this letter once a week and neglect none of it. Fulfill it, and in so doing, walk with it forever in the ways of Hashem. May be blessed, so you may succeed in your ways and merit the world to come that lies hidden for the righteous. Every day that you shall read this letter, heaven shall answer your heart's desires. Amen. Salah. Now, it's a very important point to bring out, blessed souls. This is not philosophical endeavors on the part of the Ramban. The Ramban, who was also well-steeped in the Kabbalah and the inner dimensions of Torah, knew exactly what he was saying with precise detail with every word of that letter for the ages as it's translated into English. He wrote this with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration, a type of elevated type of intellect. And speaking of an elevated type of intellect, let me just go quickly as we get to the concluding portion of our program, talk about the creative contributions of Hasidus, outsourcing from Inyanei Shel Torah's Hasidus, which is to try to describe what this is, aside from the fact this was a sicha, a teaching that was delivered by the Lubavitch Rebbe, Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson of Lubavitch, delivered in Crown Heights, I think it was about 51 years ago, or 50 plus years ago, in Crown Heights, and basically to show on various levels of the pardes of the Torah, of the orchard of the Torah, from the simple level, from that which is hinted to in the Torah, from that which is from the ethical teachings of the Torah, from the inner secrets of the Torah, why Hasidus is accessible to the human family experience. Now, the Rebbe started off his talk by talking about there being many different explanations, saying, what is Hasidus? And what did it contribute to the human family experience, which distinguishes it from the parts of the Torah which have been previously revealed, and for some people, to their amazement, to others, to their astonishment, to others, to them actually coming to not like the Torah teachings, which unfortunately is probably more a reflection of their environmental upbringing or lack of understanding or egocentric type of culturally promoted ideologies. But we'll just leave off with this one point. As the Rebbe mentioned, of four essential points which can be connected to Chassidus, but not necessarily, which only touch on point number one, and hopefully in future programs. This is not a series today. Again, it's just a practice run of me getting back on the Blog Talk Radio bandwagon or railroad, so to speak, blessed souls. We'll hopefully talk more about the creative contributions of Chassidus to the human family experience. But let's recall ourselves, while we are in the age of information, so much can be accessed. If we go back to the times of the Baal Shem Tov, when he was revealed as the modern patriarch of the Hasidic movement, because there were ancient patriarchs of the Hasidic movement, aside from the Israelite patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the times of the Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe mentioned, the world was in a state of lacking consciousness of ruchnis, of spirituality. And the revelations, what the Baal Shem Tov had to share with the world, as it related to Chassidus, as a teaching for the world, aroused the world to seek what had previously been relegated to the Yechidi Segula, very special, notable human beings, to now the massive human beings, amongst them the Jewish people, and the Bnei Noach, all the nations of the world. So with that being said, we're going to conclude. A little bit rough today's presentation, but I think we're restarting the engine. Hopefully we'll get smoother with each coming production. And I want to end off today, as we are very prone to do, to conclude with the segue ending music of Blessed Brother David Dom, will help us get back home, to help us realize that Tzelem Elohim is no dream. Our divine image will help us get out in scrimmage. And remember, if we can live in the now, we can forget about other things that can take us off our life's purpose. So let's try to live in the now with David Dom in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goral Chad, one destiny, Kolon for all of us, Badarchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Darchi Shom, in a peaceful way, Laham Shikh Be'ez Hashem Yisparek, continue with the help of the Most High. I just want to remind you, although this might cause some anxiety in some people, it's ambivalence, you've got to be good. But why do you have to be good? Because the Tevatov Lehitiv, the nature of the good to do good, the Creator is the source of all goodness, put you on this earth. So it must be that you're here for a good purpose, because the source of all goodness said, let there be you, which is an expression of Naseh Adam, let us make man, which of course includes a woman. Take care, everyone.